I'm Ben Barks with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you know that there's a waiting list of more than 50 children in our community waiting for a mentor? It's just only a few hours a month of your time to invest in a child and make a difference in your community. Be a mentor, become a big, visit Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Florida, and click on Be a Big. Thank you.
This is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
Patty Friday on the Sports Den, brought to you by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. Hopefully you've gotten to an ABC to start your weekend off right. If not, you still got plenty of time. Got a whole weekend. Whole weekend. James already getting it started. Actually, he's not getting it started. The sickness that we've heard in James' voice last week has caught up with him. That is a real thing. So we got a lot to get into. On Petty Friday, it's me and JJ tonight. We will get into a lot of things. We got to start Petty Friday off with something that we should have talked about like Wednesday, and that's Nick Saban. I guess more specifically, is the topic Nick Saban or is it Jimbo Fisher? Like, Jimbo Fisher, first off, let's get this out. Texas A&M's second best team in the SEC this coming year. Not the SEC West, in the SEC. Like, I think right now, if you were going to say, hey, rank all the SEC teams, it would be Alabama, then Texas A&M. Texas A&M, like, there's Georgia fans listening, you know, yelling at me. But y'all lost a lot on defense, man. Georgia lost a ton on defense. Texas A&M brings a lot back. The only question that they've got is at the quarterback position, but they've got talent there. They've got a lot of talent there. I think they're a good team. I think calling out Nick Saban is a good strategy. I'm kidding, but in a way I'm not, because you're Jimbo Fisher, man. Like, you've got a natty. You really shouldn't be scared of anybody. If you want to call somebody out, call somebody out. Like, I think Jimbo, what is this, year four for Jimbo? One, two, three. Yeah, this is year four, because this is the second year of Mike Norvell at Florida State. There was Willie for 2 years. So this is year four for Jimbo. Like, you're paying him all this money. Now's the time. You've got your full recruiting classes, almost all your roster. I would think 90% your roster. You've done a decent job in recruiting. You've got a natty to your name. Like, if you're going to live up to the hype that is Jimbo Fisher and was Jimbo Fisher when he was hired, you do it now. You've got a favorable schedule. By favorable, I mean before they play Alabama, here's their first five. Kent State, Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. When they play Alabama, it will be top five teams. Saturday, October 9th, in College Station. Alabama's got a freshman quarterback. Alabama lost all their receivers, basically. If you can't, I'm not saying it's wise to call out Nick Saban ever, but if this isn't the year to call him out, I don't know what's going to be the year to call him out. If you're Jimbo, following that Alabama game, you've got Missouri, South Carolina, and your bye week. Win or lose that Alabama game, as long as you don't get blown out, you're going into November at worst a top 17. At best, one or two. Like, I don't really see any games on there that they lose. Now, the last half of their schedule, I mean, it's Auburn, at Ole Miss, Prairie View A&M, and at LSU. Jimbo Fisher in year four with that schedule should absolutely win 11 of those 12. I mean, you got, if you look at and you go, okay, take Alabama out, let's take that as an L for just now. And the only other games you got that should be competitive, well, questionable. There's a couple other that would be competitive. Auburn and LSU? You got to win one of those. You got to win both of those, actually. Alabama, Auburn, LSU, if you don't win two of those three, I think, you know, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you're probably not on the schedule that you had set forth when you were hired at Texas A&M, or the bigger thing is that the Texas A&M boosters had set forth when they hired Jimbo Fisher. They hired Jimbo for one reason: compete with Alabama. You compete with Alabama. The pettiness comes in Nick Saban's response. Do we have that, JJ?
We do. Do you want to hear what got it started?
Yeah.
All right, so Jimbo was, and this is from 1947, I believe, this audio, at some type of one of these touchdown clubs where you think that you're just talking to a crowd.
And somebody's got their phone
and
up.
It's like, dude, you know you're not just talking to a crowd. It's 2021. Everyone's recording you. So try to listen closely. Someone's asking him, basically, like, when Saban leaves, are you ready to take that mantle? You know what I'm saying?
That was rude.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, we know you're not ready to take it now.
What's the key other than Saban retiring to find the meeting in Alabama?
We're going to beat his ass when he's there.
And he says we're going to beat his ass when he's there.
And that was at a booster club thing, which if probably a very high percentage of our listeners have never been to a college booster club meeting. That's it right there. That's what happens.
Everybody's drinking and having a fun time. So this was what Saban was asked today.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
I think he meant on the football field.
Well, I'm sure there'll come a day, you know, but is that what he's talking about?
That
football?
He was talking about football.
Oh, he was? It used to be on my noontime basketball league, I guess. You know, we're no longer partners, you know, when it comes to that.
Savage.
He's so smooth with it, too. Dude, like, to see the video.
Coach, got to ask, your friend Jimbo said yesterday that at some point while you're in Tuscaloosa, he was going to beat your butt. That wasn't the word that he used, but did you have any response for that?
In golf?
And the facial expression, because there isn't one.
Stone-faced.
Oh, yeah. He's holding, like, his, what is it, Diet Coke?
Dude, anytime you can get, like, and it makes it worse on Jimbo that, like, the reporters laugh because they're thinking the same thing. Like, stop embarrassing yourself.
Just stop, Jimbo. I love Saban. I don't want Saban to go anywhere for a while, and he's not. I
mean, I don't even think he's really there. I think it's just like a clone of him. Saban's been dead for years. Yeah, he hasn't aged.
It's a hologram.
At all.
No, he really hasn't. We talk about this all the time, but you listen to that quote, and it's like you forget that the dude's like 5'2".
Yeah, he's real little.
He's like so tiny, but you listen to that quote, and we've got this like bigger than life expectation of Nick Saban. It's crazy. It's
you don't want to poke the bear.
I mean, I don't.
I hate that stuff.
I don't blame Jimbo.
If I was a fan of Texas A&M, I'd be cringing. Like, dude.
If he would have stood
at any school,
if he would have stood at a podium at a press conference and said that, that's one thing. But man,
roll
like
what you?
Yeah,
I mean, look what happened to them.
We still love it though.
We do.
Let's get this right. Jimbo Fisher is no Eddie O.
Well, has he even ever beaten Saban? Eddie O has.
I don't know. I wouldn't think so. Where would he have beaten him at?
Exactly.
Because Jimbo was the coach when they got the beat down in Atlanta, right? At Florida State. Yeah, no, he's never beaten him. But my point is these booster club things, like most people haven't been to these things and you don't, I mean, they're fun, I guess.
I went
James
to
and
one
I've spoken at them,
that was in Ocala, and they paid to have John Gruden there. Wow. And it was like when he was still with Monday Night Football. And remember when every offseason it was like, oh my God, who's going to hire Gruden?
Yeah.
So like for that particular year, it was like Miami, like, oh my God, Miami's going to hire John Gruden. This is crazy. Like everyone was asking him all these questions about it. And Tennessee, was that the other job? John Gruden's going to be a Vols coach because, like, his son goes there or something.
What? So it was a Miami Booster Club thing?
Something like that. I don't even remember the specifics of it.
Yeah. I mean, the Booster Club things are just fun. I don't even, like, this is good
old
even,
boy clubs. Just absolutely. Go and drink and you have fun.
Absolutely. Somebody on the text line said, it's all tongue-in-cheek. Why are we even talking about this? Because we want to. Okay? That's why we're talking about it. We know it's tongue-in-cheek. The response by Saban is what's awesome. And my only point in this whole thing is, like, Texas A&M, you're paying this guy so much that it shouldn't be a joke when he says something like that.
Yeah, he believes that.
Right. And I, just given the fact that Alabama's running out of freshmen, who got very few reps, and how much, and I know we say this every single year about Alabama, about what they left, and I know they restocked. But if it don't happen this year, when the heck is it going to happen? If you're Texas A&M, are you going to be satisfied with paying a coach what they're paying him to compete for second place? Like that, I guess that's the question.
Why do Texas A&M fans, why do they have any expectations of being, like, a big-time program? I don't get that. I understand they have lots of money and stuff, but they've never won anything.
I mean, it's...
I don't get it.
It's been a long time since they've won anything. And that when we say they've got lots of money, like, their facilities are stupid. And so I would think, like, if I'm the Texas...
So, like, there... But my point is, like, there's no pressure on Jimbo.
Oh, no, see, I disagree.
He's the best coach they're going to get at a place like that.
What I think happens at places like Texas A&M is they get, you know, a bunch of these big money guys... And they are told, okay, well, the first thing we got to do is we got to go spend whatever they spend on facilities, hundreds of millions of dollars. And then we've got to expand the stadium, make it even more iconic. And they do all that kind of stuff, and they spend, you know, I don't know, $400, $500 million. And then we're in Texas, we can recruit. Then if we go get the guy, who's the best guy? Jimbo Fisher was the best guy. Let's go get Jimbo. Let's pay him. What are they paying him, $7.5 million a year? Let's pay him $7.5 million, and there's your expectations. So I don't think the Texas A&M fan base is the expectations. I think it's the oil money sitting around Texas A&M that's put all this money in that's looking at Jimbo going, yo, dude, it doesn't matter what the other 2 million fans say. It matters what us six say.
Last conference championship.
It was the Southwest Conference, right?
No, they won the Big 12.
I forgot they were even in the Big 12.
1998.
Wow.
Last national championship. This can't be right.
40s?
Not even.
When is it?
1939.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure that's right. Because they were in the Southwest Conference with all the Texas teams and Arkansas. That was the Southwest Conference. So when I grew up in Arkansas, that was the big rivalry. Texas, Texas A&M, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Texas, Arkansas.
Dang, R.C. Slocum really did a lot of stuff. Hell of a name.
That 12th Man documentary was awesome. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
I've seen Junction Boys.
Yeah, the Alabama one?
No, I think he was at A&M for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
It was like a made-for-TV movie, but it was good.
Yeah, I never saw it. I do want to get into, and I know we got a break, I want to get into when
well,
we come
Bear
back.
Well, Bear Bryant went 1-9 in his first season there.
What a failure.
Just a scrub. during that time, many players quit the team. The, quote, survivors were given the name Junction Boys. 2 years later, Bryant led the team to the Southwest Conference Championship. They don't give guys time like that anymore. You go 1-9 anywhere, you got one more year left.
Do Florida State fans, since James isn't here, do Florida State fans hate Jimbo Fisher because of the way he left Florida State, or do they hate Jimbo Fisher because of the way he ran off Bobby? You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't know.
The way he left Florida State? Rain Man's telling us, who's a Florida State fan. I mean, is it a combination that fuels the hatred, though? Or is it just how he left Florida State?
So what was the Bobby stuff about? I know the last few years of Bobby there, people were kind of like, all right, bro.
Wasn't he hired? He was hired as the, I think he was the first ever coach, head coach in waiting, which was disrespectful when you've got a legend walking the sideline to start with. And then I think, I want to say the second coach in waiting, and I could be wrong on this, I want to say, was it Will Muschamp at Texas? I think he was the DC, and
he was definitely being groomed to take over that gig.
He had that. That was the end thing, is the head coach in waiting, which is crazy if you even think about it. And Florida went and got him from Texas when Spurrier left. No, Urban left. When Urban left. No.
That worked out.
I was just curious. I want to get into some college football, and we will get into some pettiness too. Well played, Nick Saban. It's not even petty when you're that good. It's just Nick. Say whatever.
Do you even think Jimbo beats him in golf? Maybe that's such an inside joke between them two. It's like maybe Nick even owns him on the golf course.
Nick can't hit the ball that far. There's no way, right?
Drive for show, putt for dough.
He looks like a putter too, doesn't he?
Mm. He's got a great short game.
What is Jimbo Fisher's size?
Good question.
I hope he's like a big guy. I hope he's not.
Jimbo Fisher 6'7" now.
No. Jimbo Fisher height.
It's hard to get height and weight on non-athletes.
Let's see. All right, let's see. I got it. It's pulling up.
Or what, him standing next to someone like Jameis.
Oh, no. It says not available right now. So somebody that knows Jimbo, can y'all hit us with his height?
Jameis, he's... Oh.
Wow, did you see the picture Rain Man just showed?
No.
There's no way he's as short as Saban.
I'm seeing a picture of him standing next to Jameis, and he's a good 5 inches shorter than Jameis.
I need validity on this. Somebody's got to validate Jimbo Fisher's height and weight.
Well, I don't know if we're ever going to get weight.
Okay, I don't care about weight. Height.
Okay, Jameis is...
6'4", right? 6'3", 6'4".
So he's not that short. Jameis is 6'4". Yeah, he's not as short as Saban. No way. That picture is deceiving.
Yeah.
Saban is a little person.
Well, did Jimbo Fisher not play
Saban
football?
Probably has to have a booster. Saban probably gets to put a handicap sticker in his car.
Oh, that's not nice.
I'm just saying.
In his car or in his golf cart? Like, are we still talking golf?
I don't golf, but at the golf course, is there parking spots for handicapped golf carts?
Well, sure. Oh, not golf carts, no. Jimbo's got to beat him in golf. Jimbo's, what, 55, I think? He's born in 1965, so what does that make him? Yeah. Yeah, 55 years old.
That means nothing.
He played
in
quarterback.
The golf course.
Yeah, he was a quarterback, so I bet you he's at least 6 foot. He's got to be. He's got to be. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I do want to get into a little bit more college football. Specifically, like, what's the West going to look like? Because we're going to start to see publications release their predictions and all that kind of stuff here soon. Like, what are Florida fans' expectations? What should they be? Since James is in here, we can talk a little bit of Miami, too. Like, what are Miami's expectations with the Eric King coming back?
Natty.
All that kind of stuff coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Get this, it's Petty Friday, so we're going to lead off with this instead of NCAA. Did you hear about this bank robbery in Brazil? These bank robbers, this was this past week, turned off the city Wi-Fi. They surrounded the police base with explosives. They closed the streets with trucks and prevented some policemen from reaching the crime scene. They took a car hostage. They used drones to find the police's location. 40 people were involved in the crime. They robbed 3 banks and strategic points around the city. Theft values have not been identified, and they have not been caught yet.
Cricuma.
Wow. What?
Yeah, that's the name of the town.
Wow. That sounds like a Netflix show that I want to watch. That's awesome.
The attackers took, it's not clear how much money they took, but yeah. some cash was scattered across the city street. Heroes.
They left it for the peeps, huh?
Mm, no, they just didn't have, they just,
they ran out of room. They were in a hurry.
Couldn't pick it all up.
I'm looking at pictures. You looking at the pictures from it?
How easy is it to pull out a cash machine? I've always wondered that. Like, because this, it looks like they strapped. Oh no, they blew it up. Never mind.
Mm. I mean, I
one can't. Of the they took hostages though. Never wanted. I can't get behind that. Robbing a bank, fine.
Oh, they did take hostages?
Yeah, they shot one of them in the head.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, I was pulling for you until that.
Yeah, never there's mind. Videos, everything. Mm. Audio. Brazil, not a good place.
No, it's not. It's, they had I'm their sure chance
there,
to.
There's like plenty of, you know, places for us gringos to go hang out on the beach safely in like Rio, I'm sure. But.
What was it, the World
you
Cup?
You get outside of some of those areas in these countries, you're going to regret it. Yeah, the World Cup's there. The Olympics was there.
And now, like, all the stadiums are dilapidated already. And
so they were paying some of the gangsters out of the favelas to not rob tourists. Like, the government and the cops were paying to not rob tourists during the World Cup.
Wow.
To be like, come on, guys. This month, just relax.
Mad dads would be busy.
Dude.
I just remember all the trash. I remember seeing like the pictures of the trash and I remember mm-hmm. thinking during it, like, dang, it must be really dirty if that's what they're showing during the Olympics. Because usually they try to show the good side.
Exactly. My favorite thing about the Olympics is 4 years later when they show you the broken down, you know, they always have to build these huge stadiums
Billions
for no
dollars.
Reason. Yep. And then like 4 years later, no one's using it.
Nobody's
since some it. Random rural town.
Why does anybody even bid on the Olympics anymore?
It's a money loss like every time. I think the next one is, I think they're having one in the U.S.
L.A., isn't it? I think it's L.A.
Which makes sense because that place already has everything you need for the Olympics. You know what I'm saying?
I
like
mean, if you're counting the Coliseum. I guess, well, they got the new stadiums.
Everything.
Yeah, they got the new stadiums.
L.A. is huge.
Yeah, that Coliseum, though, for a while was their only big stadium. And that thing's been there a minute. It's been there a while, but now I guess they've got the stadium that the Rams play in. So, yeah. Yeah. I saw, I'm not
2024. Getting... Oh, no, they still haven't decided.
Oh, I thought it was.
Los Angeles' bid for the 2024 Summer Olympics.
No, I'm thinking of 28. That's the one that I was told. 2028 Olympics.
You know, we have 2020's Olympics this year.
This year. Yeah, it is. It's Los Angeles in 28. Yeah. July 21st, 2028 to August 6th, 2028.
Count me out.
You're busy?
Yep.
Yeah.
I will be going plans. To the World Cup.
Really?
Yep. They haven't selected the sites yet, but there's going to be allegedly games in Orlando and Miami.
I would like to
I'm not saying USA will be there. There's no telling, but there are definitely going to be games there. And you go for like the whole weekend, see like three games. It's going to be tight.
That'd
I'm
be
ready
cool.
for that.
That'd be cool. I'm not going to get into mock drafts, but I am going to say this. There was a mock draft that had Emory Jones go number 6 next year.
Oh, my God.
And so it got it got me thinking just in general.
McShay's?
I think it was some random mock. I don't know.
Because McShay has the Jags going number 3 and taking a cornerback.
Okay. I mean, I don't care. I mean, if Spencer Rattler is going to be the first pick.
You think?
Yeah. 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 Him or Sam Howell, they'll be the first pick. The kid from Liberty's got a chance, too. Anyway, I'm not getting into
that. That's the new Trey. Regardless.
There's a couple new Treys you're going to enjoy this
Derek
year.
Derek Stigley from LSU, number 3 Stingley, to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. You're really going to have a quandary this
Slovis,
coming year.
Slovis, number 2.
Because there's about 3 Trey Lance Jordan Loves this year coming up.
See, the guy from Liberty's getting so much hype already that I'm out on him.
I think there's
like,
there's a
I
guy,
need somebody that is even below that.
No, there. I think Fresno State maybe is.
I've heard about Fresno State. State.
One of them has a quarterback.
What about Desmond Ridder?
Desmond Ridder, is he? He's Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
So that plays right along. So if you look at like preseason top 25s for next football season, you'll find Cincinnati really high. Cincinnati is on their way to becoming like...
You think that's because they played Georgia tough?
I think it's because they're really...
And they have a soft
schedule?
Pretty
dang good. Like, I mean, it's Luke Fickell, right? Isn't he their coach? He's turned down other jobs. They've recruited pretty well. They win. They seem to win 8, 9, 10 games every single year.
One of the best logos in college football.
Like,
easily.
I think we're seeing Iowa State is in the top five for next year.
They have like everybody coming back.
Right. Then you look, you got Cincinnati. Indiana is in the top 10. Preseason top 10s.
Cincinnati plays Notre Dame next year.
Coastal Carolina's in preseason top 20s. What'd you say Cincinnati plays who?
At Notre Dame.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I bet you Cincinnati's favored. Louisiana, not Louisiana State, but Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns in the top 25 in a lot of polls. Like, you're going to see more and more of this. Because here's what's happening. High school recruits are figuring out that if I'm a three-star kid, I can go to Florida, I can go to Alabama, I can go to Georgia, I can go to Miami, I can go. But when those programs get a three-star kid committed, it brings their average down. Right? Fan bases are like, oh, we're another three-star. But when
Thanks, Norvell.
Right. We're three-star you. But if you're a three-star, you're a pretty damn good player. And if you go to Cincinnati, you're on the field after your first year. If you go to Louisiana, you're there. If you go Coastal Carolina, you're on the field. And now what happens, these teams have 3 years later, they're a squad full of guys who have played together. It's kind of like the old NCAA basketball. It's like the teams that played together, that stayed together, were always the ones at the end. Kind of still with Gonzaga a little bit, although they had some transfers. That's what's happening in college football right now. And now with the transfer portal, they're picking and choosing the Cincinnati's, Coastal Carolinas. They're picking and choosing the 4-stars that they want that didn't work out at Alabama, Clemson, places like that. I'm telling you guys, get used to this. Get used to 5 teams that are not Power 5 teams being in the top 25 in a pretty consistent manner. Get used to teams like Iowa State getting a big boost when they don't have guys that leave early and when their 3-stars stay and develop. And when, you know, Matt Campbell's a very good coach, great culture. Like, when the culture is good enough that you're going to stay there, get used to these guys. I'm not saying they're going to finish in the top 5 because I don't think they are, but get used to hearing those names. It's going to be Alabama and Clemson and Oklahoma. Like, those are going to be your constants right now because they're winning at everything, recruiting, facilities, everything. Georgia, I'll put Georgia in that. Georgia's facilities match up with anybody's. Their recruiting is as good as anyone. Ohio State, those are your teams. Outside of those, I mean, can you really name the next 5 that you go, oh, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt?
Oklahoma.
I said Oklahoma.
Oh.
Yeah. I said Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia,
Ohio State.
Like, outside of those, it's anybody to guess, right?
Well, you said Texas A&M next year.
I think this coming year, yeah. Yeah, I think this coming year, it is Texas A&M. Georgia, I don't know what to think about Georgia. I was so pro-Georgia last year. And we can pull the tape. Like, I was wrong. But I thought their defense was so good that I said they don't really have an answer at quarterback.
Well, there was so much going on with JT whatever the hell his name was.
JT Daniels.
How he didn't even play until later in the year. And then when he came in, everybody's like, well,
it would
have been a completely different season if this guy would have played.
This time last year, we thought Jamie Newman. No, we didn't. People thought Jamie Newman was a top 10 pick. People had Jamie Newman on Heisman lists. And you thought he was a starter. And then he doesn't play, which I don't think he was going to start anyway. And they go through their whole quarterback drama saga that they always go through.
He's the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I forgot he went there.
Undrafted.
Well, the starting quarterback for Georgia last year that opened the season, does anybody remember?
It was not even the fourth.
Not even Stetson. It was DeJuan Mathis, who is now the starting quarterback at Temple.
Who is famous for being the guy videotaped on the sideline throwing the ball and hitting someone. Remember that? Was that against the Gators?
Oh, I forgot about
that. So Stetson Bennett was struggling badly. And so they show a sideline shot on CBS of that kid warming up, and his ball, just in warmups, was so terrible it hit a guy in the head.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
You know, supposed to be catching.
So Coastal Carolina will have another good year.
Whoa.
Cincinnati will be – Coastal Carolina's quarterback I like, Grayson McCall. I actually like him. Cincinnati is in that new wave that I think, as long as they can keep Luke Fickle, they're going to be a perennial top 10 team. He's got a great name. They got a great staff, the whole thing. Then when you go from there, this is the interesting thing. What's Indiana? Like, what is that whole conference? Like, nobody believes in Jim Harbaugh anymore. At all. Like, is Michigan, I'm scrolling through, I don't even see Michigan in this top 25. Wisconsin, Ohio State, who takes that place? Is it, you know, where are we at on Penn State? They've lost some of their shine. Is it Indiana? I think you're going to start to see teams, Iowa State, Cincinnati, Indiana, Iowa has always been good, but you're going to start to see teams start to move up that in the past felt like they were just stuck.
Does last year not mean as much to you when you look back and see, like, well, Penn State was just so god-awful?
It doesn't mean as much to me because I'm tired of hearing Penn State's good, and they're not. They've hit that USC territory with me, where every single year USC seemed like they were ranked in the top seven, and they would lose two games out of their first four. Notre Dame did that for the longest time. Miami seems to do it just later in the year. Miami will start every single year off, it seems like, anyway. You're the fan. I don't know. It seems like they start every year off well, and then they go to a two-game losing streak or a three-game losing streak.
Or
something
five
like that.
Or
yeah,
six.
I forgot about that. What was that, 2 years ago?
They ended the season with, like, getting blown out and shut out by, like, Louisiana Tech.
So that's what I mean. I think that's where you're going to start to see the power shift. I think you're going to start to see guys like – because these kids aren't going to stay at Michigan anymore. That's the thing. Like, they get a free transfer. They're recruited to Michigan. They're sold this bill of goods. It doesn't come to fruition. If they're any good, they're going to leave. And if they're developing and they're sitting behind somebody, they're going to leave.
So Penn State lost their first five last year but won their last four.
Yeah. I don't know what to think. I brought Penn State up. I don't know what to think. Like, what do we think about Oregon? What do we think about, like, I mean, UCLA's gone, right? Nobody even thinks about them. Is Washington still a thing?
No. Oregon's always going to be the best out there.
I mean, it's another year where USC's going to have a quarterback who, remember, JT Daniels came from there. I mean, USC's got two. There's two quarterbacks that signed with USC that's probably in the top five in the country right now with the guy they've got in JT Daniels. Where are they going
to finish? Slovis is supposed to be a top five pick.
Yeah. I guess that's my point. Like, and when you look at Florida as a Florida fan, and I'll put Miami in the same thing. We all want to look at the best of all of our teams. But the reality is, aren't we kind of all in that same North Carolina right now? I'm not saying, like, history. Forget history for a second. But how things stand right now, you got to have a huge year, and you got to – I know Florida beat Georgia, but you're not Georgia yet. not currently. Like, you got to finish in the top five. You lost the last three. However you lost it, you lost them. Whoever they were to, you lost them. Aren't they kind of in that same Texas A&M, Indiana, North Carolina? Like, which one of those teams is going to step up and take the next step? Are they going to stay the same? Or are they going to do a Michigan and start to fall? Like, where's Miami at with that?
So Michigan last year, I forgot how bad of a season.
Terrible.
So they won two games. They lost four, but they, the last three, they canceled them. And one of their only wins was in three overtimes against Rutgers.
Rutgers is another one, man. I mean, they got Schiano back. They're back to recruiting well.
Like, what does Harbaugh have to do to get fired? He's tried everything.
Who are you going
to
hire?
Anyone.
I'm tired of that
old school crap. Give me an offensive mind.
Bro, they were lit when they hired him.
He was a huge name.
Oh, huge.
He went to the Super Bowl. Like, two years before? I get why they hired him. But at this point, give up. It's a wrap.
What's the next step for Miami? An ACC championship appearance? With Trevor gone, is there some hope that people can start to compete with Clemson?
No.
It's still not,
no.
right? I'm not saying Miami. I'm saying anybody.
No. Well, who else would it be? North Carolina?
I don't know. This year, yeah.
Maybe because they have a quarterback. I just can't get that Florida State loss out of my mind.
Bro, that's crazy. And when you think of the ACC, like if you're my age and you think about when the ACC was restructured, it was all about like Miami, Virginia Tech, Florida State. That was a thought. I mean, that was when Florida State was running through like 7 years of victories through the ACC.
It was like, dang, Florida State and Miami are going to play twice every year.
Every year.
It's going to be awesome.
Right? And now it's like they need, that conference needs somebody to step up so badly. Like, Alabama dominates the SEC, but somebody steps up every, last year it was Florida. The SEC championship game was a phenomenal game. LSU steps up. Like, somebody knocks Alabama off every other year. Like, does the ACC have anybody that can even dream of doing that right now with Clemson?
They get knocked off every couple of years, but it's not by a team.
How many straight championships
like,
have they won?
I'm saying in the regular season, they'll lose to, like, Pitt or Syracuse or stuff like that. But it's never to a team that's like, oh, we're coming to get you.
Yeah, I was talking about the championships.
It's just a random fluke. No, they don't lose those games.
That's what that the ACC's got to have a competitive championship game. And honestly, Miami's got the best chance right now. I'm not saying this year, but over the course of the next couple of years, just because of their recruiting base. They're the one team that athletically has a chance in the next few years to line up and go. Florida State's got a long way to get it back. The only team that can line it up and say, all right, we can athletically compete with Clemson, the only team that's got the possibility is Miami right now.
Notre Dame only lost in the championship by 24 last year. And the year before that, Virginia only lost 62-17. And the year before that, Clemson only beat Pittsburgh 42-10. And the year before that, Clemson only beat Miami 38-3. But the year before that, 6 years ago, Clemson only beat Vatek by 7. So there. Six years ago, they played a tough one.
That same differential, that average differential, is how many minutes over break schedule we are right now. But at the break, let's add up that score for the last six national championships or ACC championships and see what that comes out to. We got to take a break. We're way over. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
I will readily admit I'm not as petty without James here. I don't really even think about it being Petty Friday. There's a lot of good sports news out today, though. It's weird that we're actually doing a sports show.
Your boy Tony La Russa is not having it. That's a shame.
Bro.
He's like, there's only room enough for one old person here, and that's me.
Well,
We're not
somebody
bringing
had
Albert
to explain
Pujols.
The new extra inning rules to him the other day,
which I didn't know that either. Which have you watched any of the extra inning? Do you know what's going on?
I haven't watched it.
So they put a guy at second base. Yeah. They did this last year, but he was more talking about like substituting someone in, and I don't want to get into it. But
yeah,
it sucks, and everyone hates it. Everyone, every fan of Major League Baseball hates the new extra innings rule. And that's why I think that Rob Manfred's going to keep it, because he doesn't give a damn what the fans think. It's so stupid, dude.
Man. When does the basketball playoff start?
10 days? 10 days? Something like that?
I'm ready for the calendar to get back.
Lakers might have to win a playing game to get into the real playoffs.
Yeah, they got
because
problems.
AD is made of glass. He's soft.
Did you see the way he got hurt last night?
No. I just saw that he left the game and he wasn't coming back.
He shot a three, missed it. And when he was like, after he shot it.
Had to be more than that.
No, listen, it's really not. After he shot it, he was kind of leaning back and ran into the scorer's table.
Oh my God.
There was nobody around him.
It was a blowout. And yeah. He was like, how do I get out of here?
It wasn't even as close as what the score was. Table. Like, it was bad. It was bad. But we can't talk about that on here. But what we can talk about is Tom Brady joining the NFLPA call. Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
The NFL Player Association held a call with its membership today. Tom Brady decided it was time to take it over, take the mic. And he makes some good points. Like, I think I've got a little bit of unique perspective on this because I'm with a lot of the guys a minimum of 2 days, some weeks, 3 days a week. Brady got on the call and said, Brady told the players to have very intense negotiations with their teams about modifying off-season work. Brady said, and this is per Pro Football Talk, Brady said, the NFL is the only league with overly competitive drills in the off-season, and the last year showed there's a better way to prepare. His quote was, there's no effing pro baseball player that's throwing 95 miles per hour in mid-December. Brady's missed voluntary work his last couple years with the Patriots, and the Bucks roster has a bunch of veterans who were there last year. So this is interesting, though. This is an interesting talking point because I haven't really spoken to any players that are pro NFLPA on this. Like most of the guys, all of the guys that this has come up with me, has been, man, we need to be in the facility. Like, we need to be in this. We need to be going. Jacksonville's a young team, though. Like, if you're working out with a bunch of the Tampa players who are all coming back, they're probably siding with Brady. But Brady makes a very solid point that I'm embarrassed to say I've never thought about when he talks about the baseball player that's not throwing 95 miles per hour in the middle of their offseason in mid-December. I always look at the offseason kind of, for football, very greedily and one-sided, as the only thing I'm concerned about are the guys that I'm working with. And very rarely do we gas up. Very rarely. Like, maybe this time of year we're starting to work in, not maybe we are, we're starting to work in, if we've got a 90-throw session, eight of those, nine of those, maybe at 90%. The bulk of them are at like 50 or 60, and the focus is more on like baseball pitchers, mechanics, footwork, things like that. But he's right, because if they were in OTAs and they were in minicamp and they were in all this stuff, they would have to be throwing 100 balls a day at full speed. And that we would look at a pitcher cross-eyed if we found out he was pitching live batting practice in mid-December at 95 miles per hour. So Brady's got a great point on this. And I think where this thing's going to end, I personally believe, is everything's going to become voluntary. And I would say in Jacksonville a couple years ago, there were only two guys that missed the voluntary workouts, and they were scolded. I think most teams have a few more than that. But every NFL team's goal is, if they've got, you know, 90 on the roster at this point and voluntary, they'd like to have two-thirds in the building. Two-thirds of those guys are going to be rookies, second-year guys, guys recovering from injuries, guys that they really need to keep an eye on. I think most NFL teams would tell you privately, not publicly because you can't negotiate this way, but privately they would tell you the upper tier of their guys, they don't care what they're doing right now as long as they come back ready to go. Nobody talks about May in October. If your team is, you know what, even if your team stinks, when's the last time you heard somebody bring up voluntary OTAs as a reason their team stunk? No coach, no fan, nobody, no player. The only people that I really heard talk about COVID was Florida State fans last year. And legitimate gripe because it was a new staff. But all in all, like, you don't hear that on the NFL level at all. I mean, there's some of these guys, there are quarterbacks right now who are picking up a ball for the first time since their season ended. Like, the past couple weeks. And they're fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's other quarterbacks that are more comfortable with shutting it down for 2 or 3 weeks and then starting to build it back up. You know, I got a couple things I want to work on, and it's going to take a little while to work on, so let's go in late January. There's, you know, very good quarterbacks who say, I don't really want to touch a football until April. Every single year. And as long as they perform in the fall, that's fine. So I think where this thing ultimately is going to land is a lot of voluntary stuff leading all the way up to training camp. I do think that last year showed to us the difference in college and pro ball. The pro guys, I don't think anybody could really tell a difference. No preseason games, nothing but training camp. The product was good from the first snap of the year. You know, very well-trained eyes maybe could see things, you know, some missed assignments on defense, some misalignments, some missed calls, some things like that. But you would have to know what was supposed to happen. Like, I don't know that I could pick it out either. But all in all, like I just don't think it's that big of a deal at the NFL level. I think who's the best player on the Jags right now? Let's keep it here.
Trevor Lawrence.
Who's the best player as a veteran on the Jags right
Miles.
Now?
Miles.
Yeah, if Miles Jack, if he wants to go wherever it is he goes, like Miles Jack actually owns like acres and acres and acres in Greenco Springs. Like that's where he lives. Like that's his life. That
hundreds of thousands of candles.
Yes.
Candle wax to fill a museum.
But if Miles Jack lived in California in the offseason, he's going to train. If he wants to fly in 2 days before training camp, then what do I care? What does anybody care? Why should we care? I mean, I know Urban's deal is, and I know the staff and everything they're doing is, they want elite level football training at their facility year-round. And they believe that they can provide that. They believe that they can put a place together that their players can come to that other private places, private gyms cannot compete with. Now, I will say this about the Urban Meyer coaching staff and what they've done. I didn't hear from anybody on the previous staff ever about training. I hear about it from about other things. When Urban Meyer was hired, I heard from the strength coach within the first week. Within the first 2 weeks, he was in my facility having a conversation. I've texted back and forth with him. I've talked to other people on the staff. Like they don't want to dictate anything, but they care about the people that their guys are working with. And they are unapologetic about, we don't want to require our guys to come in, but we want to put together something here that's so sports performance good that they don't want to leave. They don't have a better option than to work out here in Jacksonville. The problem with that is that guys just want to get out of town. And it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you play for the Dolphins. It doesn't matter if you play for the Raiders. It doesn't matter. Like, we talk about, you know, where would you want to play? And all. At the end of the day, like, a vacation is a vacation. And a lot of these guys, especially the higher name ones, like, they want to go somewhere where they can go grab by tea without being noticed. They want to go somewhere where they can go train without everybody in the gym looking at them. Like, they want to go somewhere like that. Like, what we do, and I am going to make this about 6 points. When we have those guys in, like, we shut it down. That costs us a lot of money. But we will completely wipe the slate clean of any training that we have outside the scope of professional athletes for the first half of the day, from January all the way until training camp, when they're wanting to train. Most gyms will not do that. So they could be in there training, and there could be a bunch of high school kids, and they're not the issue. The high school kids, they couldn't care less. It's the parents that all of a sudden start showing up. It's the pictures. It's the posts.
Oh, I want to see Manhurt.
It's all that kind of stuff, right? So that's the issue with these guys staying in town. It's not – doesn't matter where you live. Of course, if you live in Buffalo, you don't want to be there in January, February, and March. Of course. But you could live in Miami, and you may still want to get out. Maybe you want to go to L.A. Like, that's going to be the issue that they butt up against. And so that's why I don't – Tom Brady speaks, people listen. I think Tom Brady speaking on the NFLPA is as much about him not having faith in the NFLPA leadership to get the point across as anything else.
They're also going to war about your boy Juwan, whatever his name is.
The Denver guy?
Yeah.
They're going to win
that
war,
James,
too.
Who tore his Achilles while he was practicing at a Denny-like place, and they – basically warned, hey, we could not pay this guy.
Yeah. They didn't say they weren't going to, by the way. They just said that, you know.
They sent a memo out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock coming up next.
You mad, bro?
1010XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
8 o'clock comes to you every single night. 5 days a week, you find something to hate on. Always brought to you by Green Acres. If you're looking to purchase a new firearm, that's where you need to go. Like, you want to support the Sports Den. Very, very easy. Tell your friends about us. Step one. But like step 1B is support our sponsors, support our partners. Green Acres is one of our partners and a great one. You need to get out to Green Acres. Look at everything they have to offer. If you're a hunter, you need to go over there like immediately. Concealed to carry classes. I think 6 days a week, $49, Mondays at noon, Tuesdays and through Thursday at 5, Friday at noon and 5, Saturday at noon and 2. You can register right on their website, greenacresporting.com, over off of Normandy Boulevard, greenacresporting.com. Make sure when you go in there you tell them you heard about them on the Sports Den. I don't really have a hate o'clock, but – interesting story here. Where was this at? Fargo. Where's Fargo?
North Dakota? South Dakota?
Which one is it? Dakota. Fargo, North Dakota. Woman is accused of disrupting the graveside funeral services of her ex-boyfriend and recklessly driving an SUV through a Fargo cemetery. Blair Witten, who looks like an angel, really, if you look at her.
What does that mean?
Dude, look at her. I'm just kidding. She looks, I think when they booked her, she was still high. Based on her mugshot. This is interesting. It says, who according to court records is either 28 or 29, so they don't know. Faces one count of misdemeanor, reckless endangerment. Misdemeanor?
Well, no one was injured.
She allegedly was trying to run people over at the funeral. The father of the deceased told police he witnessed Witten, who he said was not wanted at the funeral, driving an SUV at high speed across the cemetery. Another witness told police he was approaching Witten's parked vehicle after the burial to ask her to leave, and Witten accelerated towards him, causing him to jump out of the way.
North Dakota's got to be a heavy meth usage area, especially based on this pick.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying now? Yeah, something's off.
What do you got going on out there?
What is
nothing to do.
What is the
weather tomorrow? Low of 34, high of 60 in May.
What's the one thing we know about North Dakota? Do we know anything
about
North
Dakota? You've never even seen Fargo, dude. That's a disgrace.
Well, isn't that where your boy Trey Lance is from?
He's not from there.
No, isn't that where he played? Yeah. Isn't that where they're based out of? Yeah. I'm gonna look up Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, Trey Lance is from Minnesota.
Well, that's almost as bad.
Yeah, you're right.
Although everybody says Minneapolis is amazing.
Oh, it's not Minneapolis. Marshall. A town of 13,000 people. Wow.
Google Fargo and look like this looks it, like.
Fargo's a real city, man.
I know, but it's not. It's like it was. It doesn't look like it's done anything for a while. I couldn't do the snow. I kind of like cold weather, colder weather. Cold weather, like by my definition, is what they have now. What do you do? I guess you get used to it, I guess. Like if it snowed tomorrow, would you know how to drive?
No. And one time I was in Colorado and I just got in the rental car, hopped on the interstate, and a guy in front of me, like, I guess tried to overcompensate on the road or something and like flipped his car in a single car accident. I was like, all right, this place sucks.
Yeah.
My sister's like, yeah, you have to watch out for black ice. You don't see it, but it'll kill you.
Fargo,
like, why do you guys live here?
Fargo has a 200.
You have a child.
250,000 population, though.
I told you it's real.
Well, Fargo has 121,000. It says metro population of 246,000. 193rd is where they rank in the U.S. The first thing it says about Fargo when you Google it, the Plains Art Museum exhibits regional, contemporary, and Native American works in a revamped old warehouse. Modern and vintage airplanes are on display at the Fargo Air Museum. Huh. Fargo Dome. What animals live up there? Like, y'all were talking about this while I was gone. Y'all were talking about, like, wild animals. I can't do wild animals, bro. I don't know. I don't know enough about animals. I don't know anything about snakes. I'm that guy that just thinks all snakes are bad because I don't know anything at all about them. Nothing. I couldn't drive in the snow. Like, if it snowed, I would legit just sit in my house. There's no way I would leave. If I'm driving around and I see a bear, what do you do if you see a bear?
In your car?
No. Like, if there's a bear in your backyard, what do you do?
Stay inside.
I mean, y'all keep flexing if you want to. Both of them are talking about get big. Man, y'all stop.
No, you don't do anything. You stay inside and you record it on your phone. You put it on Instagram. You get hella likes. You make a funny joke about, like, poo.
I'm looking at, let's see. Okay, so is that an elk? Yes. Elk and moose. Buffalo. Antelope. Don't know. Don't know what I would do in North Dakota. I'm sure it's beautiful, and I'm sure there's, like, North Dakota's probably that place. Like, where I'm from, Arkansas, same thing. People don't leave. Like, you grow up there, and even people that move, they come back. Like, there's just a pace to it. When we went to Louisiana a couple weeks ago, I hated leaving because it was like my phone didn't even work where we were at, and it was wonderful for 2 or 3 days. People, I guess North Dakota's probably the same way. People just don't leave. I'd like to go to North Dakota just to see it, just say I've been there. What's the coldest state you'd like to go to?
I've been to the coldest state, Colorado. It sucked.
But do you have any interest
it's
in going to
Alaska?
It's beautiful
there, but it's not fun. No.
I don't either.
For what?
I don't either.
Dude, I honestly don't care about any of those places. Like, most of the country, I don't even care about them being part of the country. I mean, we could break up tomorrow. I'd be happy, honestly. Alaska, dude?
We talked about this. I don't want
to
travel.
Alaska's closer to Russia than it is here. They can see Russia. Like, there's places in Alaska where you can look through binoculars and see Russia.
Isn't that wild?
That's not America.
We've talked about travel. Neither one of us are big travel guys. Like, I don't care anything about going to Hawaii just because I don't want it
to like, Europe before I'll go to other places in America.
What would you want to do in Europe?
See the sights. I mean, Europe's so old. There's so much history there. There's no history in California or, like, what am I going to walk through Hollywood Studios? Oh, this is where they make the seventh crappy Marvel movie that's come out this month. Like, no, I'm straight on that.
I mean, I used to travel a lot in my previous career. I used to travel a whole lot. And so I'd travel to the same places over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, I would spend a lot of time in San Francisco.
When you travel for work, it's different.
It is.
You're not having fun.
It is. Well, we can talk about that another time. I mean, I had a very good per diem. Yeah.
I so like that.
I would travel like most Boston, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, Houston, and then South Florida. And it was cool. Like, it was cool to go to those places, but there's not one of those places, Houston may be the closest, where it was like, I would prefer to live here over where I live. Like, Houston's got a lot of Jacksonville in it. It's just much bigger. Same climate, all that kind of stuff. Now, I will say this. If L.A. wasn't in California, if you didn't have to pay all the money in taxes and houses didn't cost what it did, like, the climate is... So great. And like, the landscape is so beautiful, man. It's just, I don't know.
The homeless people, bro.
Well, I didn't hang out with them.
Apparently, they're everywhere, though.
Manhattan Beach. It's like one of the greatest places.
Not even in Manhattan. Crazy.
No, not even close.
Yeah, count me out on California, dude.
All of it?
All of it. Don't care. Don't care about New York. Especially now with COVID. This is where it's at.
A64 says at least a hurricane won't kill you. I mean, I've never been killed by a hurricane. Have y'all?
Hurricanes are so overrated. Yeah. I didn't even lose power the last one. That was supposed to be like, you know, the one. This is going to take us all out.
I'm getting instructions on what to do if I see a bear. And this is why it's called animal control. All right.
That's it?
Well, he goes on, but I'm not shooting a bear. I guess I'm going to shoot a bear.
It's getting that close.
Yeah.
Definitely going to shoot a bear in the face.
I will have a gun near me. I will put it that way. But
there's a video that's been going around of a guy sitting and fishing, and the bear just comes up right next to him and sits down. And it's like, yeah, it's a cute video, but then the bear gets up and just gets, like, a little bit close to him, and the guy starts freaking out. It's like, yeah, it's fun for a little bit.
Bro, I remember seeing a video.
But when that bear decides to snap your arms off.
Yes, I remember seeing a video of a guy hunting, and he's in the tree stand, and a bear climbs the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do?
Die. Have you ever seen Grizzly Man? No, you haven't.
No.
It's a documentary about a guy who went out to, I think it was Yellowstone, every year and recorded himself, just him, hanging out with bears. And he had, like, you know, hours and hours and hours of footage. One year, he decides to take his chick with him.
What?
Both eaten alive.
Oh, no.
And there's audio of it. The documentary, though, when you watch it, you're like, this guy had it coming. His name is Timothy Treadwell. Please watch it. One of my favorite movies ever.
I still haven't seen The Lion King.
This is a little different.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I'll get to some of the text line stuff. We'll find some other... notable stuff not named college football, since we spent the first hour on that. We'll do that coming up next.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got to do.
Lifetime Enclosures text line. There's people agreeing with you, JJ, about the audio from that bear, whatever you were talking about. What was the name?
Grizzly Man.
Yes. 687 says that audio is the stuff of nightmares.
Well, here's the thing. In the movie, so you watch the entire movie knowing that he gets eaten alive at the end and his girlfriend. So you're like, okay, so I'm just waiting to hear it at the end. And then at the end, the guy, Herzog or whatever his name is, that makes all the documentaries, is like, there's a scene of him putting on a headset and listening to the tape. And then he's like, it was too graphic. I decided not to put it in the documentary. It's like, damn it, dude, seriously? So we watch you listen to it, but we don't get to hear it? I've been watching 2 hours of Timothy Treadwell, like, flirting with these bears.
Waiting for that.
Yes. He names them all, too. Like, they're his little friends. Oh, look at
Cody Jimmy. Cody said his 8 o'clock is James not being there to do MFTK of the week. That's fair. That's fair.
He's on Twitter.
Is he?
Not too sick to be tweeting, of course.
He texted me earlier and he's like, man, I don't think I'm gonna make it in. And then he texts right back and was talking about, you know, how he's feeling. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Hack today.
I heard.
Shout out to a true warrior.
I heard he left it all on the field.
He really did, bro. The coach told him, listen, I don't know if it's safe to go back out there. And he just rubbed some dirt on it and went right back out on the field.
Is he sick or is his voice just going?
It's more of just a voice thing, I think. But he's a day away from vacation. Any other person would have just been like, you know what? I'll elongate my vacation one day. What's the big deal?
Where's he going?
I can't talk. He had to drive his in-laws. He had to drive a van full of his wife, child, and her family 6 hours today after work to a beach in the Panhandle or something. And like he's spending like a week with them. Oh. That sounds like hell, bro. With your wife's family for a week.
I'm lucky with my wife's family. But yeah, yeah.
I don't even like my own family for a week. Dude. Are you kidding me?
Cody also said that I'm going to be on Zillow tonight looking at places in Fargo. Real estate prices keep going up here, and you're right.
Are they?
God, it's ridiculous.
Maybe,
man.
I should rent out my apartment.
It is absurd right now. We got conflicting reports earlier on Jimbo. Some people saying 5'7", most saying 5'8". 5'8 was the tallest that we got.
We got a 5'10".
I think that was a guess, though. Wasn't that a guess by Sully? That wasn't an official measurement.
Well, I don't know if anyone's officially went
Excuse
up to
me,
him
Jimbo.
And measured Jimbo. If there was any true journalism going on in Texas, then they would ask. But
yeah, I feel like they should start putting heights of coaches.
Definitely. You don't got to do weight. I understand how some people are.
We got a bunch, when we were talking about the ACC, a bunch of people saying that Florida State can't stay down for long.
I agree with that. But, I mean, even when they weren't down, they weren't competing with Clemson.
Correct. When are you going to, if you're a Florida State fan, when do you really start to worry? Norvell's got to be the guy because you got to keep him for at least 2 more years.
You have to see growth this year.
Well, I mean, good gravy. If they don't see growth, yes. Well, they won 3 games?
They won just as many games as they ducked out of last year. They might have ducked out of more. I think it was 3. Could have been 4. I'm not sure.
I mean, yeah.
There was Wake. There was Clemson. There was Duke, I think. Sad.
Duke, they may have won.
Oh, nice.
I remember seeing Duke play Georgia Tech, and it was bad. It was really
bad. Had Jeff Collins on the show.
Oh, Jeffrey?
Talking about your boy.
Yeah, they have good things.
Apparently, he had an amazing spring.
He had a great spring. Jeff Sims is who we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. Jeff Collins on Jeff Sims from XL Primetime yesterday.
Yeah, I thought he had a tremendous spring in the spring game. He went 9 of 10. He popped off a 50-yard touchdown run as well. Just got more comfortable with the offense. He had the whole offseason to dissect every single one of his throws, to learn the offense, learn the playbook, know where to go with the ball, know the progressions. There were times last year he was just operating on pure athletic ability, but now he understands the scheme, he understands the system, he understands protections, he understands rotations of coverage, where pressure's coming from, where to go with the football. One of the coolest things about Jeff, too, is a week before the spring game, I had the entire team vote 5 leaders, 5 teammates, and we compiled all of those things. Jeff, from his peers, was voted one of the captains for the spring game. That is a big, big deal. Who he is as a young man, his character, his work ethic, his relationships that he has on the team, and he's a baller, too. That's exciting for us as a future in this program.
Hell of a hype
as we return Georgia Tech back to the level we're supposed to be at.
Jeff's in right now. He's in the facility. He's not throwing, so we're not throwing until next week. But
that was a hell of an answer. The guy's excited.
I will say this: like, I can back him up on a lot of that. Jeff, the way Jeff has matured, most guys when they come back into town, if they can't throw for a week, they're not going to come in the facility, right? Like, what's the point? Jeff's texting me every day. Hey, who's throwing today? Who can I come in? I just want to hear. I just want to learn. I just want to be around it. Like, there's a couple changes that he's wanting to make, that we're wanting to make, and he's just wanting to, like, see it before he can throw, which is, I think, middle of next week. He's got a chance, man. Like, that guy's got – Jeff's got every tool that you could want.
Not good enough for Florida State.
Apparently not. If only he would have beaten them. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, jeez. Oh, we have to break.
Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, let's stay on the Florida State thing for a minute. Let's stay just for a minute, because without James here, we get some leadway. Let's you and I go through their schedule, and let's see how many games they're going to win. We'll do that coming up next.
No colors anymore. I want them to turn black.
You're listening to The Sports Den on 1010XL.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got
nothing
to do.
All right, JJ, let's get it. Here's our Florida State schedule prediction without James Coleman. Because originally it was like, okay, we're going to lean on James for this, and then I think it got to where you and I just felt bad for James.
What is your standard?
Yeah, what is your standard, Florida State, as we're reading through this schedule?
And we should preface this by saying that a Florida State fan who was here during the commercial break, so this isn't us, he said they'll be lucky to get 6 wins. But he also claimed in typical fan fashion that they have the toughest schedule in the nation, folks.
Those 3 top 25 teams on that schedule now. Come on, that ACC, we just went over that. You don't just get through an ACC schedule unscathed of Wake Forest and Louisville and Syracuse.
You don't come out alive.
No. Hope they can field a team. They start off with Notre Dame. We don't know anything about Notre Dame. Is that Doak Campbell?
I heard that their quarterback, I was listening to a podcast with Trent Dilfer, and he was discussing the fact that he was making great points about Jordan Love and how he's like worthless now after just sitting a year out, because nowadays, every year, there's new guys coming in, not just in the NFL, but in the college. Like, he was naming all these guys. You know, Notre Dame has somebody that they say is amazing, which I've never heard of before. Fresno State.
Talking about Drew Pine?
Yes. He was just going through all these random kids at schools, and he's like, yeah, everybody has an amazing quarterback nowadays.
I love Trent. I do. Like Trent a lot. We get to spend some time with Trent next week. Love the time I spend with him. He's very educational. He's very, like, man, if they went through Elite 11, they're the best thing ever. Like, he's that, you know what I mean? Like, Drew Pine.
That's his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Drew Pine's a good player, but
was,
I don't know.
Was Fields an Elite 11 person?
He was. He won Elite 11.
Oh, that makes sense, because he's, like, obsessed with Fields.
Yeah, yeah, he won Tua won Elite 11.
The only quarterback in last year's draft it was on Ryan Russillo's podcast, by the way. The only quarterback in last year or this season's draft that he was like, I don't like that, was the Jets guy, BYU kid, that I can't remember his name.
Who didn't do Elite 11?
Zach Wilson. I was just about to say.
Yeah. Rest of them will.
Okay, now I got it.
Yeah. Notre Dame week one.
Like you can't trust any of these quarterback guys.
No, you can't. We're terrible human beings. I don't know anything about Notre Dame. Nothing about Notre Dame. I'm picking Notre Dame to win. At Doak Campbell. Sunday. Oh, it's a Sunday game. Sunday, September 5th.
That's the closest those Florida State players will ever get to Sunday. Just kidding. They had like one or two drafted this year.
Do you give them a chance in that one?
Yeah.
I do too. First game at home.
Freshman quarterback or, you know, a quarterback who's never played before for Notre Dame. Yeah. I think Florida State has a chance to win that game. I don't think they will. So I would put that down as a loss.
0-1. Jacksonville State, they'll win that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
1-1. Be careful the Jacksonville. I'm not.
Was that the one that took them to overtime?
That was Samford. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. Jacksonville State is now doing the whole transfer portal thing. They got some really good players. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to.
Yeah, we're just messing around.
1-1. At Wake Forest.
2-1.
2-1. Louisville.
I don't know anything about them.
I don't either. So we're going to give it to them?
Yeah.
3-1. Syracuse.
See, out of Louisville and Syracuse, they're going to lose one of those.
I agree.
So I'm just going to say 3-2.
Your reasoning is perfect. Like, they're not going to win
both. Not for any specific reason. Just
they're not going to win Wake Forest, Louisville, and Syracuse. They're going to drop one of those.
If they do, Mike Norvell will have a statue built outside for them if they win three straight.
They're going to run out of rocks. 3-2. At North Carolina, 3-3.
Yeah, I agree. That's a revenge game.
Then they're bye week. Then they got UMass, 4-3. At Clemson, 4-4. NC State. Okay, let's do it this way. NC State, Miami, Boston College.
They're going to lose one of those. Well, they're going to lose to Miami, dude. I think they'll win the other two. You don't lose by 50 points to a team one year and then all of a sudden you beat them.
No, I'm with you. I definitely think they're going to lose one of those three. Are they going to lose two of those three?
You think they're going to lose two. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Say they'll win two.
So we got them at 6-5. And then at Florida, 6-6, right?
That would be a decent season for them.
I agree.
That would be definitely good enough for people to be like,
if you put the over-under, though, it's
maybe
six.
Maybe Mike's not all that bad.
And I bet you if you go to Vegas, that's exactly what it is. I bet you it is six in Vegas. Six, maybe 6.5. I'd probably take the under because we're assuming they're going to beat NC State, Boston College. They're going to win two of the three out of Wake, Louisville, and Syracuse. And this isn't like I'm not trolling Florida State. I actually, if you've listened to the show, I've said multiple times, I actually think that the staff that they have is doing a very good job. I've been in consistent contact with them, and they are recruiting the right way. Like, they're saying all the right things. They're all, like, hardworking guys, like, to the point that they're doing youth camps this week. Like, youth camps. I don't really know what the point is other than to expand the brand, but that's what they're doing.
6.5 is the early reading on some things I'm seeing for the
over-under. I'll take the under.
Over-under.
I'll take the under. This not the Florida State we've seen in the past 3 years of where they can win two of those three, or maybe the better way to put it is four of those six. Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse, NC State, Miami, Boston College. At 6-6, they've got to win four of those. And the Florida State we've seen, that's not been the case. But it is a stretch, Rain Man, to say that that's the hardest schedule in the country. Okay, he says he backtracks.
I'll give him the ACC. Although you did combat that with Georgia Tech's schedule, which is also pretty hard.
Georgia Tech, bless her heart. Like, they start off NIU, Kennesaw State, but then they go Clemson, North Carolina, Pitt, Duke, Virginia. And then here's how they end their season. Virginia Tech at Miami, Boston College at Notre Dame and Georgia. While we're on it.
100-1 odds to win the national championship for Florida State. Among the other 100-1 odds, Indiana, Boise State, Ole Miss, Stanford, Nebraska, South Carolina, and Arkansas. So your program is on the same level of Arkansas, South Carolina, Nebraska, and Stanford.
I think if I was a Florida State fan, I'd say I'm on the same level as Indiana and Boise right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. Well, Boise beat them, so they can't even say that.
Georgia has the worst home schedule that I have ever seen in my
worst
life.
Worst isn't hard or easy?
I would not buy season tickets.
Oh, it's just
it is so ugly. Bleh. It is. You ready? Here's their home schedule. If you're a season ticket holder for Georgia, this is what you got to look forward to this year. UAB, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, and Charleston Southern.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get a discount.
No. You still got to donate the money yeah. to even buy the tickets.
And you get the light show, though.
You do get the light show. Now, they play Clemson, but that's in Charlotte. That's week one. That's that's Saturday, September 4th.
Remember when they used to play every year?
Yeah, that
and
game
then Clemson
right there
got really good, and they just stopped playing every year.
Well, funny Clemson and Auburn used to play a lot too. I thought that game right there, man, Georgia Clemson, September 4th, like maybe the most impactful game of the season. Like,
well, besides when Miami beats Alabama that weekend.
Oh, obviously, obviously. What's your expectations,
shocks
Miami?
The world. 8 wins.
8-4.
Yeah, I'll be happy with that.
Will Miami fans be happy with that?
It depends on who the wins are against. We right. have to beat Florida State. I don't know. I think 9-3 people would be happy with. 8-4 might upset some people.
You're going to lose to Alabama.
Mm-hmm. You're going to lose.
Never know about Michigan State, but I'm going to get, like, y'all are going to win that. I don't even know who CCSU is. I have no idea who that
Central
is.
Central Connecticut State.
Okay.
They bring the wood.
Y'all don't have a hard schedule.
No, we have an easy schedule. But the bowl game is going to be a loss.
Alabama, North Carolina.
That'll be a loss.
NC State. I'm just looking at the ones that are even questionable. Georgia Tech, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. Like everything else, y'all be favored by double digits in. I don't know enough about App State.
I also don't know enough about
Michigan State.
Derek's knee status. I need to know way more about that before I make any hardcore predictions.
We need to know what his name is first. Is it Derek or D'Eric?
It's King. After a whole year, I'm still not sure.
Yeah. Stay with me when I say this. Alabama, App State, Michigan State.
You think they lose one of those?
Well, they lose one, yes. They lose to Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, to follow Alabama with App State, I'd much rather be following Alabama with that CCSU team you talked about, Central Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I mean, App State's
a legitimate program.
They can put up a fight, and you never know what Michigan State is. That's not an easy start at all. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. 8 wins,
especially
9 wins.
After, like, you get beat by, like, 40 week one.
I don't think they do.
Like, half your guys are hurt.
I think y'all are very – I don't know. I have no reason to say this because Nick Saban just reloads. But I think y'all are – you know, you're getting the quarterback with his first start. You're getting a bunch of receivers with their first starts. Running back with his first start. They lost, what, 3 offensive linemen in the draft? Is that right? 2 or 3?
No, they have, like, all the O-linemen returning. Like they.
No, Alex Leatherwood.
Oh, you're talking about Alabama. I thought you were talking about Miami.
No, Alabama. Yeah, Leatherwood, Dickerson, and there was one other.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean.
They're going to reload and be fine.
Kind of the same thing I said about Texas A&M. If not this year, not anytime soon for Miami. I'm not saying y'all are going to beat them. I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, spread's probably going to be 17.
Oh, at least.
Yeah. Do we have to break again?
We'll just.
Just go to 55?
Yeah.
Okay. While we're at it, let's pull up Florida's real quick. Maybe. Florida Gator football schedule. What a way to end the show. 2021, we've done this a million times. They should win 10. If they don't win 10, I'll be disappointed. LSU, Georgia, Alabama, you got to win one of those three. Got to win one of the three. All right, everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday for Alumni Week, which means nothing to us. We'll be here Monday at 8 o'clock. Talk to you guys then.